Welcome, everyone. My name is Damara West, and I am founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman. And I am delighted that you have joined us for the virtual Women's Liberation Summit. I am so excited about the 21 plus speakers that we've got on the lineup to help you feel more free and to feel more joyful for 2022 and beyond. The guest that I have today is not just someone that I deeply respect for the expansive work that she does to help people to live a plant-based lifestyle, but she's also someone that I have the privilege of calling my friend. So before we jump into the conversation, I want you to get to know this beautiful soul, because you're going to be inspired by her and you're going to want to follow her and all of the things. So with that, Lisa A. Smith is a serial entrepreneur, health and wellness subject matter expert, nutrition and professional author of The Plant-Based Foodie, and creator of the signature plant-based coaching programs, Farm, which is P-H-A-R-M, To the Table, and The Other 23. Lisa is a highly sought after speaker and presenter on plant-based nutrition, holistic health, and entrepreneurship, who epitomizes what it means to be a compassionate community leader. Lise, I am so glad that you have joined us.
Thank you so much for having me, Dee. As always, it's a super pleasure.
Of course, we're about to get into it and have a blast, right? Absolutely. All right, so let's just start with this whole idea of liberation, right? And it's a term that we throw out a lot, and it has a lot of grandiose, right? It has a lot of magnitude, if you will, but everybody doesn't necessarily look at liberation the same way. And so I'm really curious from your perspective, you know, being a plant-based nutritionist and all the amazing work that you do and the journey leading up to this point, what does liberation mean to you?
Yeah, liberation means to me to be completely free of anything, whether it be physical, mental, or emotional, or spiritual, that hinders my ability to live obediently. So, you know, Dee, I strongly believe that we are only here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to be obedient to our assignment. And all of our assignments are different, but all of our assignments have one main thing in common. And that's service. One of the ways to know whether or not you are in alignment and you are obedient in your life is whether or not you are serving and whether or not that service is attached to your own personal gifts, right? And so anything that impedes your ability to be radically obedient, to be in service to others through the use of your gift on a regular and full-time basis, right, is halting your liberation. Because one of the ways we become liberated ourselves with, you know, self-actualization and autonomy, right, and governance over our lives is only by serving others. That then frees us. And so anything that's halting your ability to do that, whether it's your health, whether your health is a liability, whether your mindset is a liability, whether your spiritual alignment is a liability, anything that's impeding you, that's creating that obstruction to you serving obediently and on assignment is an indication that you are not completely liberated.
So this is so good. And you really gave us a lot in terms of, you know, being radically obedient. I don't know if I've ever even heard that term before. We talk about radical forgiveness and radical self-love. And I can really appreciate you framing it in this way. And it makes me think about Atomic Habits, which I just finished reading in preparation for 22, and really priming myself for behavioral change. And one of the laws of behavioral change is discipline. And, you know, as you know, I'm working on a book right now. And in many ways, if I'm going to write this book, it's going to require me to be disciplined. It's going to require me to write on an ongoing basis, even when I don't want to write, right? Even when I've got other things that I need to do. And so, and this idea that our work is really, and our purpose is about bringing to the forefront our gifts for other people, right? We don't have these gifts for ourselves. And even when you framed it about, you know, like focusing on other people as a mechanism for us to be able to really realign, I appreciate this too, because a lot of times we talk about, well, the only pathway to serving others is self-love. But the reality is that there are dualities, right? And sometimes the pathways by which we get there are not necessarily starting with self, going from the inside out. Sometimes it's starting from the outside in. And I'll never forget when I worked for the first time with young people in a really progressive way, I was like, ah, this is what it should feel like. That's passion. Right. And passion, right? That second highest vibrational emotion that we experience. Oh, yeah. And so I didn't know that. I stumbled upon it by having this experience versus doing all this work and then discovering. So I just love this, that there are lots of pathways by which that we can find this connectivity to self and other people.
Yes. Yes. It's a beautiful thing. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what I feel like when I'm on a stage or teaching or coaching, you know, using my gift of communication, articulation, and translation, taking these hard to understand concepts and breaking them down into bite-sized pieces that people can wrap their brains around. Like, that's my element. And it feels so good. And you're right. If I had to just like lock myself in a closet and try to do the self-discovery work or trying to figure out who I am and where I am and what journey am I on, I definitely will arrive there. But there's nothing like, you know, being bold, right? And getting out and just taking action. How can I serve? I think that's one of the best tools you can actually use to figure out whether or not you're in alignment, whether or not you're being obedient, and how liberated you truly are, right? When do you feel the most free? And for me, it's on the stage, it's on a mic, it's in front of the class. And that is when I know. And anything that impedes my ability to do that, right, is imprisonment, and meaning that the act of not being liberated, right? And so I work hard to make sure that every aspect of my life is aligned and functioning in such a way where I will not have to retract back from what allows me to serve at the highest level.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that I really want to highlight from what you said that I think is so critically important. The blockages, right? And you didn't use the word blocks, but anything that is hindering us is a block. Right? It's a barrier. And I think that there's something really powerful in saying, and for the summit, for example, joy by any means necessary, purpose by any means necessary, service by any means necessary. And this is why we take the time to do vision boards and we're in spaces like this and we're working to manifest, because whatever it is that we focus on is truly what expands. And so if you're focused on this is what my goal is, and how do I get there? How do I get there? How do I get there? Or just continuing to activate to get there, is something that is so important. And this experience that you talked about, you know, it's the same approach that we use with young people. And the reason why I believe that it's a really good approach for adults is because so many ways we've been stifled, right? When you think about being a kid, like, kids don't come into the world afraid. Kids don't come into the world without curiosity. Kids don't come into the world without a sense of joy. And so in many ways, the experiences that you're offering up for us to take on to find that alignment is something that is so important. And this idea that eventually something's going to click. But a lot of times we have to have the experiences because we have spent so much of our time because of society and because of our family and all the labels that we've taken on about our identity that impedes our ability to find the purpose-driven work that we were all born to do, which is intricately connected to joy and liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Girl, you know, every time we get together, it's so, you know, I've had the good fortune, right, of seeing you in action and hearing your work and interviewing with you. And there is a magic, right, because you're in your element. And again, that speaks to, you know, why it's so important for us to find our passion, and it's not hokey. And for people out there that know for certain that this is what I was born to do, but they're afraid, right? Mm-hmm. They're afraid to do it. What kind of advice might you have for that person?
You know, I'm going to take this question from probably an angle that many might not have considered, but I would encourage them to start doing work around the ego. So that I'm afraid, I'm worried, I'm scared is an egoic thought. Mm. And one of the books that was helpful for me with regard to kind of taming my ego, and the ego is necessary. We don't want to eliminate the ego, it's absolutely necessary, but it should be balanced greatly with our spiritual selves, the essence of who we are, and our ego shouldn't lead, was Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth. And that book, it's a dense read. It's a heavy read. I wouldn't recommend audio. I recommend physically reading it. But understanding and being able to decipher or discern, should I say, when ideas and thoughts are coming up that are driven by the ego. You know, if you know what your true passion is, what your calling is, what you're meant to do, when you feel the most fulfilled, when you're, you know, pouring into the earth at the highest level and into people at the highest level. And so if you already know that, like you said, Dee, but then these fear-based thoughts are beginning to come up, that fear-based thought is usually drenched with how someone else is going to see you, or if it doesn't work out, how you may be perceived by others. And that is all ego. And so I would recommend doing the work to make sure that the basis of the narrative that you're telling yourself to not do the work is rooted in factual data and not rooted in egoic thoughts and processes that all they're going to do is prolong the rest of us from benefiting from you. Because when you're in alignment, when you're obedient, when you're truly liberated, that means, again, that you're serving. But if you're not serving based on fear-based decisions that are tied to the ego, then all of us, the only people being punished is all of us, right? Because you've decided to wait 10 years to get the book out when we needed it 5 years ago, right? You decided to wait to do the work that we all could have benefited from had you been obedient in the right time. So that's what I would recommend, is doing work around the ego.
Yeah. So this is good, right? I mean, and when we think about ego, a lot of times it's our automatic, it's the first reaction that we have. And so this is so good that you said, like, we're never going to get rid of ego. Ego is always going to be present. And ego is connected to the ways in which we have not been nurtured as humans, right? So if we were raised without a sense of a positive sense of self, if we found, if there were trauma that we experienced, both acute and more complex trauma, we are literally replaying the stories that a lot of times are unconscious, right? They're not, it's not in our realm of consciousness, but it's archaic in many ways. And I'm reading right now, Getting the Love That You Want, which is for couples, but I'm actually reading it for myself so that I can understand how I am archaically operating in my relationships that's hindering me from being a reservoir of love. Because the opposite of ego is love. And we always have an opportunity, Lise, as you said, to like, I heard Joyce Meyer say this once, to think about what you're thinking about. So when that thought comes in, not taking it as truth, really pondering that, okay, what's this about? Why am I feeling this way? Why do I feel like I'm in battle really with myself? Because when we're doing things that's not in alignment, that's not coming from a place of love, then we are kind of in battle. Right? There's tension. When we're operating in a space of love and flow, we show up with an airiness, with a sense of peace, with a sense of power that we may not have all the answers in the moment, but they're coming. And in the meantime, the universe, the source, God will carry us because we are always co-creating our lives. And the other thing that I want to say, I love this idea of like not waiting, because we get this one precious life, as Mary Oliver said, one time, We get it once. Now, if you believe in multiple lives and all of that, I certainly don't want to take that from anyone who may be listening. But for right now, in this body, we get one time for however long. And I think it's so important, as you said, like if we know, just do it. Move through the fear. Massage the fear. Be committed to your own liberation in a way that you're not waiting on anyone or anything. But if you're saying, well, gosh, that's me that we're talking about right now, know that the source is always conspiring to get you what you want and what you need. So even if it's been 10 years and you still haven't wrote that book, write it now. This is the message that you were waiting to hear right now. If you've been waiting to get on the stage, if you've been waiting to launch that consulting practice, if you've been waiting to launch that company, do it now. Because all the supports are available for you to make that a reality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, only when you take the first step will the next one be revealed. You know, if you're listening and you're also like myself, where it's like, I want to see steps A through Z before I take them. I want to know what's coming. I want to know how they're about to happen, or, you know, what's required, what tools. And it doesn't work that way. You know, only when you take the first step will the second be revealed. And so do what you can at the level you're on. And, you know, just going back to what you said earlier, too, about thinking about your thinking, that's emotional intelligence. And so having a wherewithal be able to dissect the root of what you're thinking, where it's coming from, what is it rooted in, you know, what emotions, feelings, what narrative is it rooted in? And is it true? Right? Like never have the final say, right? Over your thoughts. Sometimes we need to seek a second opinion, right? Because the narratives we're telling our stuff in our head is just our first opinion. So you might need to get a second opinion on the stories that you're telling yourself about why you can't move from here to here or go from there to there. And so that emotional intelligence is key. And like you said, taking action, movement is key, because we are more willing to help a person who's pushing a car down the street as opposed to somebody that's just sitting on top of a stalled car, right? So if we see you in action, right, that energy is going to beget more energy. And so we see you in action, we're going to swoop in to help you with whatever you need. And so I think it's really important that us taking those own steps, we realize is indicative and an indicator to the rest of us that you are in motion and you are ready, you know, for the next resource.
This is so powerful, because what you're talking about is being an energy source, and we are, right? We're energy sources that are always attracting, whether we're conscious of what we're attracting or not. And I love what you said, that like, whether it's working or because work is going to produce an energy of people who work, right? If you believe that life is your oyster, the world is your oyster, there's going to be all these things that come into your pathway that says that, the world is my fucking oyster, right? And so we've got to be masters of monitoring our thoughts first, over and over and over and over again, because the source is always conspiring to give us what we want when we're ready. When we're ready. And so being cognizant about the things that we say to ourselves. So if you find yourself saying things like, you know, I'll never get this right. I'll never be good at math. I'll never be a good leader. I'll never have enough money to do X, Y, and Z. You won't. Mm-mm. You absolutely will not. But if you reframe that and go beyond what is presented in front of you, and you keep your eye on the prize, which is what you want, and you keep your eye on the truth, which is that joy and liberation and purpose and passion is your birthright, then everything else will follow.
Yeah.
Ah, that was so, so good, sis. All right, so talk to us about your liberation journey.
Yeah.
You are a badass businesswoman. But you didn't wake up like this. Mm-mm. So talk to us about what you want to share with us regarding how you got here, because I know there's been some liberatory work that you've done to get to this point.
Yeah, I'll just start with my lane, which is health. You know, Damara, I had a very significant weight loss story. I used to be 65 pounds heavier than what I am today. And my health was a liability prior to, you know, achieving the level of health that I live in now. I was overweight, and, you know, fortunately I didn't have any diagnosis. I wasn't on any medications, no pre-existing conditions. But what we know about being overweight, if you're unhappy with it, is it impedes on your self-esteem. It, you know, impairs how you show up in the world, or whether or not you show up at all, right? I've had a lot of students and clients who admittedly stay in the shadows and try not to be seen. So for me, the beginning of my liberation definitely started with weight loss and getting healthy. Now, just to be clear, because losing weight doesn't always equal getting healthy. There's a ton of ways to lose weight. Not all of them result in improved health. And so I just want to make it very clear that I, you know, lost weight and, you know, started on a journey to be the most optimal version of myself as possible. I started with physical, you know, and it rolled into mental, emotional, and all of that. And I think as I begin to get more and more comfortable in my skin, D, physically feeling more attractive in my body, then as I begin to take stuff out of my diet, transition to a whole food plant-based lifestyle, and then my mind began to get even more clear, my recall, my ability to problem solve, my emotional intelligence, just being able to access those realms of my brain that were required for me to evolve and ascend to a new version of myself, changed the game. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm able to create. Right now I'm able to produce, right? And we know in life, the mission should be to become more of a producer than you are a consumer. So now I'm able to contribute more to the world than I take from it, okay? But that started with my physical liberation from obesity. So I was overweight. I hired a personal trainer, and she began to teach me how to work out and to exercise. I kind of DIY'd the nutrition myself. Her and I didn't go over nutrition. And I fell in love with the exercise and decided to become a personal trainer. And then I started studying nutrition and realized that a whole food plant-based diet was the most optimal diet to avoid lifestyle diseases. And so I began to personally make the transition, begin to master the science, begin to teach it and incorporate it into my own personal health and wellness company. And it began to reveal to me, the more I began to teach the content, that my ability to teach and articulate these concepts and create frameworks that help people to master the understanding of this content was my gift, right? My ability to create content is part of my gift. And so that then liberated me from a career that no longer served me, which was social work. And I was then able to move into a career that served me and the recipients of my information at a higher level, right? So I've gotten physically free. I've gotten professionally liberated now, right? And then the longer I stayed plant-based and the cleaner I became internally, the more my brain, the vibrational frequency that I lived on, kept going higher and higher and higher. And so now I'm able to vibrate higher over the nonsense that, you know, the average person in our society is concerning themselves with, like other people's business and, you know, all the polarizing arguments in the news and all that. I don't deal with all that down there anymore. I'm up here just vibrating on a higher frequency. So now I'm liberated spiritually as I'm able to ascend to different levels of existence with my spiritual awareness. So now I study spiritual awareness. I've incorporated mindfulness. I do daily meditation. I'm tapped in, and my faith is higher now. You know, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible. I have several spiritual leaders who I listen to and study from. So the content that I'm letting into my mind is keeping my vibrational frequency higher. And so I'm liberated from all the negative chatter that doesn't serve me on those lower vibrational frequencies. So I've been liberated across several aspects. And one final one that I want to share with you that I've never shared publicly. Okay. This would be the first. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my good friend D. I'm about to let it all out right here. But mm-hmm. D, I was literally recently liberated emotionally at the end of 2021. So I made a huge decision. I started counseling a couple years ago. I got a therapist a couple years ago. And the reason I went to that therapist was to talk about the fact that my dad had walked out of my life when I was a young kid. And I haven't seen him since. I think I was in elementary school when him and my mom stopped co-parenting. You know, he just went ghost and I haven't seen him since. And so I got into therapy a couple years ago to talk about this with a therapist. And we started working through this abandonment, these abandonment issues that I have from my dad leaving. And I told my therapist at the time that I really wanted to find my dad. And she said, why do you want to find your dad? And I said, because I want to, you know, ask him why he left. I want to know, do I have siblings? I want to know, you know, health history. It's got a whole bunch of questions that one might have of their biological father. And she said something to me that stayed with me. And she said, okay, first of all, that's not why you want to find your father. You want to find your father because you want a dad. You want a daddy, she said, okay? And she said, but I must warn you, you have to also accept that it's a possibility you could find him and be rejected again. I had never considered that potential outcome, Dee. I had never considered, in my mind, the only narrative there was find him and then we will have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like we will get to the root of things, right? And the only other scenario that was possible was that I wouldn't find him either due to death or whatever, but if I found him, the only next step was that we would have a conversation. Well, fast forward, I finished therapy maybe almost 2 years ago now. So I kind of worked through those. The abandonment of my father no longer really impedes my life like it used to. So therapy did what it was supposed to do. But in 2021, I decided to take that final step and hire a PI, hired a private investigator to find my father. Mm-hmm. Okay. We did it. Okay, I got the private investigator who had success with someone else that I know. And this gentleman, he found my father. This gentleman lives maybe 15 minutes away from me. And, you know, got the address, got the home. And the way this particular process worked with this PI was that he said, what we typically do is I have you write a letter and I hand deliver it to him. And then we let him decide what the next steps will be. Well, I did that. So I wrote the letter. I gave it to the investigator and he dropped it off for me. And he told me what happened. You know, he saw him physically come to the door. He saw him, you know, he's like, I know he got the letter. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, in the letter, I put my contact information. What should maybe you give him your contact information in case he doesn't want to reach out to me directly, maybe, you know, give him some options too, in case he wants to keep a middleman or whatever. He's like, okay, I'll return to the house. I'll give him my personal card and give him that option as well. And so the investigator did that, okay? And this was several months ago now, Dee. And from that day to this one, I haven't heard anything. So essentially he's made the decision not to move forward with, and exactly what my therapist said years ago is that I was basically rejected again. Right. Because the investigator confirmed, he came to the door. I confirmed his name. It was him. I gave him a letter. I know he got it. And I haven't heard anything. And I'm not saying that I won't, but it's been a while and I've come to terms and I've went, you know, to my spiritual advisor. I've, you know, talked to people close to me in my life and I am perfectly okay. I now feel liberated with, I have personally done everything I can do. Right, to try and reconcile this relationship with my biological father. He has chosen not to, to reach out, to talk to me, to, you know, have a conversation, to start dialogue. And now I finally feel free for it. It was still in my mind, like, I don't feel like I had did everything I could do. Mm-hmm. I paid the money, I paid a PI, I did it. And now I finally feel free from that experience. It's no longer holding me hostage. And so that's like my latest liberation experience and story. And it's been really fulfilling to do that work because I finally felt emotionally intelligent enough to even take those steps that I took to find him.
Ah, oh, it's so powerful. And I just want to start by saying that, I am deeply touched that you would gift us with this story. I know that someone is going to be listening and it's going to resonate, right? Because oftentimes we are seeking closure, right? The reason why we hold on to unforgiveness or sometimes we have relationship problems, right? Because they're rooted in the lack that we had. And so this person is not our enemy. We are not the enemy, but it feels that way sometimes if we are seeking, and if we are seeking with this idea of having this thing or this person fulfill us in some way. Yeah. And the fact that you got to the point where you said, I'm done, yeah, right? For right now, I'm done. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not attached to whatever is going to happen. I'm not telling myself a story. I'm just focused on the facts as they are. And I'm focused on moving forward with my life, regardless of whether he is in it or not. I mean, wow. Wow. Thank you. And I am so proud of you for the work that you've done to do it. I know 2 years, investing in therapy and, a PI and all the ways in which this showed up for you, and knowing that I'm no longer going to allow this to be in the driver's seat. Yeah. And so talk to us a little bit about what's happened as a result. So as soon as you decided, I'm letting this go now. Mm-hmm. What's happened? I mean, I know it's early, right? And so we'll check in on this again, but I can imagine that there's been some things that have happened, even if they've been subtle things in your energetic sphere.
Yeah. Well, like you said, definitely in personal relationships, having a small fear used to be like a little undercurrent of fear in my relationships that people would leave. Right. And so, or quite the opposite too, I would leave before, right? Like I would leave situations ahead of time, or, before all options have been exhausted. And so now I'm not that person anymore. Like I'm super cognizant of, and have worked on tools to use to stay in relationships, whether they be romantic, professional, friendships, even familial, and making sure that I'm not doing just what my father did, which is just become a person who abandons as opposed to another alternative. And leaving doesn't mean that you abandon unless you did it prematurely, right? And so sometimes the result still is that I need to leave a situation, but it's only after assessing it, in a very emotionally mature way and making sure I've exhausted all potential outcomes before I make that final choice. And so not having a fear that someone or something is going to leave, and me not feeling like that leaving is my first option. And so just those doing work around that, I think, has been one of the biggest results of it.
So this is so powerful about, because it makes me think about one of the early conversations that you and I had. And I said, Lise, you don't play. You will cut somebody off. And it was, I admired that, right? Yeah. But what I know to be true now, and what you're offering us today, is that when we write people off too quickly, or when we try to fuse ourselves with people and we just want them to be in our space, there's a problem.
Yes.
So a lot of times we think it's other people, but actually a lot of times it's us. Yes. And even if it is someone else, there's something that we are supposed to learn, because every single person that comes into our life is a spiritual teacher if we allow them to be. Mm-hmm. If we are keen enough, if we understand that we have a connection to everything in life. That is life. And the moment that I begin to judge or see myself as more supreme, that is the moment that I am literally cutting myself off from myself, and I'm cutting myself off from other humans.
That's right.
And another thing that I think is so important is that, I used to believe, well, right, relationships shouldn't be that much work, right? They shouldn't be that much work. But the reality is that actually relationships, particularly your most significant spiritual teachers, can be the hardest work that we do. And so I love what you've offered us to just this acknowledgement that it takes time to cultivate a relationship with self, and it takes time to cultivate a relationship with others. particularly depending on how deep the disconnect that we had with our caregivers. Because many times what we're trying to do is we're trying to heal old childhood wounds through these new relationships and doing it in a very archaic way. So we find ourselves in battle. We're either retreating, we leaving, or we going toe to toe, right? Because part of it is that it's our survival. We think we have to do this to survive. It's really, really deep stuff. And you've given us just a tremendous gift by offering that. It's so rich. Yeah. So, you know, as we get ready to wrap up, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about plant-based nutrition, right? And you gave your story about how you got here, which is so appreciated, because you're talking about the winding path. Like, you set out to lose weight. And a lot of times people say, well, this is an inside job, right? Like, self-love, it's an inside job, which it is. But the research shows that when we look good, we feel good. And when we feel good, we oftentimes look good. And so if you've been under the premise that, you know, you don't need to focus at all on your physical appearance and it has nothing to do with your ability to love yourself, it's a fallacy. Actually, we do feel better scientifically when we look better. And so I really want to encourage us to think about wellness in this mind, body, spirit way, right? Everything is interconnected and everything is up for grabs as our ability to liberate, right? We can liberate from all of it, anytime that we decide to do that. And so, you know, you shared with us what your winding path has been, right? You started off, you said, I'm going to lose this weight. You did that. And then, oh my gosh, I want to be a personal trainer. And then you did that. And I'm studying all this nutrition. Oh, and now I'm going to be a certified plant-based nutritionist. And then all these years later, now you have a farm to table course where you are certifying other plant-based nutritionists. So I love that you started, you just trusted the path and you continue to just open yourself up. And you're here when what we both know is that even though you're here, we know there's more, right? As you continue to open up yourself. And so in thinking about that and all the ways that you have practiced to get to this place in your life, what's one thing that you know for sure now?
Mm-hmm. What's very, very tangible, you know, everything we put in our bodies, produces or degrades our ability to think and assess at a high level. And so if we're talking plant-based nutrition here, I think one of the best pieces of advice that I could give your listeners is understand that you truly are what you eat and or drink. And if you are finding yourself to be in a place where you're consistently indecisive, procrastinate, doubtful, unable to take the next step or figure out what the next step is, it's probably partially because your channels are blocked. And so you're not in a place to receive those divine downloads. And usually that's starts with how we're fueling our body and our brain. One of the best things that happened to me when I started making a transition to a healthier lifestyle and making a transition to become a plant-based vegan was the mental clarity. Just the clarity of my waking self and my unconscious self. Like, my dreams are more surreal. I literally feel myself problem solving in my sleep. I create content in my sleep because there is no fog. There is no blockage. I'm able to decipher through these emotions, these ideas. I'm able to be more creative. And it all starts with the water I drink, with the plants that I eat, that the berries that I eat, the fiber. Like, my gut health is good. Your gut is your second brain. And so if you're dealing with unresolved emotions, and it's not saying that you can solve them yourself, but just having the wherewithal, me to know to reach out to a therapist, to reach out to a coach, to follow through on that decision, to feel confident in my decision, to feel confident in my ability to take the next step when it's going to be provided by me you know, provided to me by my coach or my therapist or whatever, or my spiritual advisor. I have to be in a physical and emotional and a mental place that renders me capable of doing so. And so I attribute that strongly to the food I eat, to the water I drink, to the fasting that I do, to the movement that I do. All of those things, absolutely, they produce a body that I'm 1,000% confident in. But more important, they produce a level of spiritual and cognitive awareness that I'm also able to be confident in. Sometimes we're not liberated and not taking the best next steps because we don't trust ourselves. And it's that lack of trust of self that needs to be repaired.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want to reiterate what you said about like the consumption part. And I think we've got to ask ourselves all the time, what am I consuming?
Yes.
Because whatever you're consuming is what you're becoming.
Yeah.
And what I love about conversations with you is that we talk in vibration, and you shared it earlier, right? And so if you are hydrating properly, if you're getting the right amount of plant-based diet, if you are doing these practices like meditation, you know, so much of the time we're focused on wellness, not necessarily from what we're consuming, because sometimes we think that we're being healthy and we actually aren't being healthy, right? And so I really appreciate what you are highlighting in that anything that we experience, anything that we ingest, anything that we think about, every interaction we have, that's consumption.
Yes.
And we want to consume to be higher, not consume to be depleted. And this is just it's so powerful. And it's an invitation for us to examine every facet of our life and to think about where is there room? Where is there room for us to consume so that we are higher, which allows us to attract so much more into our lives? Ah, you are such a beautiful soul. I'm honored to know you, to be in community with you, to be in sisterhood with you. And I know you've got some things coming up that we want to tell the audience about. So talk to the audience about what's coming down the pipeline, sis.
Yeah, well, you know, if you are in the market to raise your vibrational frequency and awareness, and you know that starts with your physical health, you're interested in utilizing a whole food plant-based diet in order to do that, we'll be opening up enrollment soon for our next semester of Farm to Table, which is my signature plant-based coaching program. So I would highly recommend, you know, individuals who know they need that physical healing in order to go to the next level to explore Farm to Table to see if it's a good fit. And for those of you who are in this space, in the helping field, and you want to help other people achieve a higher level of being and existence, but you need to master plant-based nutrition in order to help them do that, or master nutrition science, then you want to look into the other 23, which is my plant-based nutrition and coaching certification. So those are two programs that I would recommend that individuals take a look at if they're ready to take those next steps. Because I believe that one of the biggest and best investments I've ever made for myself, Dee, and I know for you as well, is coaching. And not necessarily, you know, thinking that I can DIY everything. DIY is a great tool, but it won't take you to every level that's required. So I've invested in a high level in coaching in my personal life, and I encourage others to do it as well. Having that communal experience, having that curriculum, and having a great coach is really helpful and able to ascend. So that's what I would recommend and where I would start. And for those of you who just would love to learn a little more about plant-based nutrition, but not exactly sure whether or not you're ready for a coach or in need of one, then you want to just check out the Black Health Academy. That's my company. It's 100% complimentary. It doesn't cost you anything to become a member. I do a free nutrition class once a month. We have an entire platform that houses a ton of master classes that teach you how to begin to adopt this lifestyle. And so you could just check out the blackhealthacademy.com in order to do that.
Beautiful. You have given us so many wonderful resources to help us on our nutrition journey and to make sure that we're vibrating higher. So as we get ready to end, what one last piece of advice do you have for the audience?
Every thought that you think and emotion that you feel manifests on a cellular level in your body. Mm. So remember that your life is a physical manifestation of the thoughts that you're thinking. And with that in mind, ask yourself what needs to change.
Pure power. Make sure that you check out Lisa A. Smith, all of the amazing work that she's doing, the Black Health Academy, and so many other nuggets. Many of the women that I've been privileged to work with have also been served by Lisa and the amazing things that she's birthing, that she has birthed into the world and continues to birth into the world. So make sure that you check it out, follow her on Instagram, and make sure that you go back to your email and click that link so that you can access more of this good information. So y'all heard it here first. This is the Women's Liberation Summit, where we help women claim their authentic power so they can create a life on their own terms. Until next time, beauties, Ashe.